Wallawani Nindawan. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Free CR on our special Invasion Day broadcast. My name's Kieran Stewart, and I'll be one of your hosts today, taking you through for the next 6 hours or so. We've got a jam-packed episode today. We're going to be playing a whole bunch of different songs by Aboriginal artists. We're going to be crossing to the local rally down here in Naarm to be listening to the speeches. We're also going to be in touch with mob from right across the continent throughout the day to hear a bit about what's going on up in their neck of the woods and to talk a bit about the organising they're doing around Invasion Day. To start off though, we're going to go to a couple of tracks. Up first, we've got Native Born by the late Uncle Archie Roach.
Tell the damn Ajiva painted not so much the things he saw, but what he felt inside, how he loved the Flinders rain. The only thing he ever wanted, the reason that he painted for, was that everybody shared the dream. His land would never change. Oh, but change it did, and through the years they introduced some foreign plants. Familiar things are strange, while strangers play upon the lawn. And motherland has shed her tears for lives that never stood a chance. And Albert Namajira cried, as we all cried, the Native Born. So bow your head, or keep your lip and wattle tree. Australia's bush is losing its identity, while the sea and the thoughts that they have made. Look at a place, because the spirit's in the name. Look at a place, because the spirit's in the name. Do you remember Joseph Banks, who stood upon this sacred earth? And what he felt inside when he looked around and saw the land to whom we give our thanks, our motherland who's given birth to trees and plants and animals he'd never seen before. So bow your head, old eucalypt and wattle tree. Australia's bush is losing its identity, while the cities and the parks that they have made. Look at a place, because the spirit's in the land. Look at a place, because the spirit's in the land. But no one knows, no one hears the way we used to sing and dance, and how the gum tree stood and stretched to greet the golden morn. And motherland still sheds her tears for lives that never stood a chance. And Albert Namajira cried, as we all cried, the Native Born. We cried, the Native Born. We'll be right back.
people forgetting about our rights. So, all you black people, you got to fight for your rights. You got to fight for your rights. And that's racism, and the cops, and the government, which is bullshit. But we have learned within our soul, and that is the land controls you. You don't control it. You don't control it. Fight for your rights. Fight for your rights.
Like a mental black man on a mission doing what I'm meant to. Suckers can't do it like this, oh no. Watch them fall down off the pedestal. What you doing up there anyway? Kids call me young, I ain't here to play. Treat our culture like a little game. Urpa type shit on some giveaway. You can be a leader, she can be a leader. Everyone a leader till these fools don't need ya. We just trying to teach you the principles. Mob always die, can I live some more? Build that fire in a world so cold. Walk on hot coals just to let them know. Just to let them know,
no.
Just to let them know. Lobbying blacks and these politicians. Walk up in this bitch and I'm cold dripping. Talk to me nice like your coach with you. You and me, cause we ain't no different. We fight the same demons and they so vicious. Tell me what it feel like in that row. Dance around on a merry-go. Do anything for the white man, though. Stack that bread, then off you go. Like, oh my, he did good. He came up just like he should. He did what we never could. But why he never come around the neighborhood?
Better fall back unless you will. Hope, if they wait a minute.
wait a minute.
Everywhere we walk upon in this world, one indigenous group of another has once lived there before for thousands and thousands of years. Learning the most intricate and respectful ways to inhabit that place. We need to remember that.
You're on indigenous land, original clans. Since beginning of man, countless years out on this land. Living so grand, aligned to command. Intrinsic alarm, never disband. 60,000 plus, following law before this light of hand. Through the seasons and sacred plants, injured with storms for many lost fans. From the desert down to the clay pan, tropics and mountaintops, swamps and oceans. Sanctified beaches, no equivalent, swept with the tide, deeply advanced. Warriors pose so poised in a stance, out of wisdom, truth never by chance. Sorcerers, elixirs and transcendence, standing in love across every expanse. Message sublime, it's in the hands, breathless from beauty from all that expands. Infused with the magic, majestic and grand. Mariyama, Tarakulan, Nungo, Badi, Kalita. Koko Yalanji Bangarang, Yong Yu Pai Mirana Burungam, Yota Yota Bunwarang. Where is it you standing, man? Whose land you standing on? Know the history, know the facts. This indigenous land that you are on. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Lest we forget the frontier wars and the genocide blueprint that does live on. Deaths in custody, it sees no more prolific than ever forced by big guns. Still they gallivant and they war boss. Children again and again stolen in the blink of an eye. They get with us and then they are gone. We still amidst all these storms, 230 years gone. Village in score, culture ignored. Fictions in city is adorned. All of our sacredness shaken and sworn. All the while on indigenous land, we are living out that lies upon. Does your mind realize the storm? As they post in subliminal dawns, from ancestors on the rise on. To do not belong, a perpetual cycle of wrongs. It's been glorious, we will time bomb. But yeah, all of our kingdoms still here, still live on. We still countless original, limitless indigenous nations. To no broken chain of law, ancestors sing along. They given us more, endlessly they given us more. From the desert to the shore, they delivering law. They sing of the law, for forevermore. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be. Indigenous land is where you stand. Indigenous land is where you be. Indigenous land, it always was. Indigenous land, always will be.
You're listening to 3CR 855M, your dial, 3cr.org.au, streamed online and via the playback service. Today we have our special Invasion Day broadcast for the day. We're going to be talking to a bunch of mob from right across the continent later in the day, hearing how their Invasion Day events have gone, as well as what they're up to, as well as what the day actually means for them. You know, for me personally, Invasion Day, which is what today is, you know, a lot of people try and call it Australia Day, but it is Invasion Day. It's, it marks the day that the First Fleet first came into Botany Bay and raised the British Union Jack and laid claim to our lands. It was the beginning of a war for us, and it's a war that has continued now for, oh, what are we on now, 240-something years or so? You know, it's a war that's never ended at the end of the day. You know, when we look at our stats and we look at the predicament that First Nations people continue to live under here in this colony, we can see that it's very much an ongoing war. Our children are still removed at world-leading rates. You know, we're having our children snatched up at rates of 1 in 4 or even more in some parts of this colony. It's the stolen generations still continuing. When we look at our mass incarceration rates, we're the most incarcerated people in the world. Our people are also routinely executed in custody, these deaths in custody. You know, it's extrajudicial killings at the end of the day. It's our people receiving a death sentence for being black in the colony. And it's something that, unfortunately, just like our child removal rates, only continues to get worse. Last year, we had the highest rates of deaths in custody since the 1991 Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And, you know, they're just, it's getting worse and worse. It's very much still ongoing. You know, it's not history as well when we're talking about Invasion Day. It's the present. It's the continuing colonial occupation that are enforced through police, through prisons and through courts, through child removal, through borders and through economic control. The violence here has never actually stopped. It's just changed its form in many ways. You know, they went from, at the start, wiping out entire clans with their massacres, to now they just indiscriminately kill our people, but in a way that's spread throughout much of the colony. You know, our people are still dying all the time because of the colony and because of what's happening here. And, you know, a lot of people try and say that it wasn't invasion. But what else do you call it when a military fleet rolls in, lays claim to land, commits genocide and ecocide and assimilation policies? That's invasion. That's what it is. You know, the only other terms I would use for a day like today would be Survival Day or Day of Mourning. And in fact, we've been calling it a Day of Mourning since 1938, when they first had the Day of Mourning March. You know, for some perspective, Australia Day as a national holiday and celebration, it's younger than I am. It started in the mid-90s. You know, that's how recent this year, this so-called Australia Day public holiday is. It's not something that, you know, they've been celebrating for 100 years or 200 years or however long. It's something that's younger than I am. And, you know, we hear quite often as well this whole debate around shifting the date. And, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I think that it's an extra slap in the face that Australia Day celebrates its existence on the 26th, on the day that our invasion and our occupation began. But I'm not one who calls for a change of changing the date and celebrating on Australia on another day. I don't believe that we should be celebrating Australia whatsoever. What is there to celebrate? Genocide, ecocide, assimilation, child removal. You know, these aren't things to be celebrating. These are things to be denouncing. These are disgusting, horrific, atrocious acts. So I'm not one for changing the date. I'm one for abolishing the celebration of Australia altogether. And in fact, I'll even take it a step further. I'm one for abolishing Australia full stop. You know, we shouldn't have Australia. Australia shouldn't exist. And legally speaking, Australia doesn't exist. Not when you look at international laws. Not when you even look at the British own laws when they first come and laid claim to our lands. They broke their laws. That's why they had to create this whole fiction of terra nullius. Try and claim that it was no man's land. So that they could, you know, apparently legally take our lands. Because what they did was illegal. What they're continuing to do is illegal. And it's absolute nonsense. If you just tuned in as well, you're listening to 3CR, 855 AM on your dial, 3cr.org.au, streamed online via the playback service. You can also listen in via the community radio app. And today we're talking about Invasion Day. We've got the airwaves for the next 5.5 hours or so. And we're going to be doing a lot of live crosses throughout the day, going to be crossing soon down to the rally down on the steps of Parliament down here on Kulin Lands, going to be hearing some of the speeches and what's going on down there. And then throughout the day, we're also going to cross to some of my brothers, sisters and cousins right across this continent to hear about their struggle and hear about what they're up to today. You know, how their events are going, what's being said, what the whole day means for them. We're also going to do something a bit different today. I don't know if they've ever done this before in the past, but We didn't do it last year. I was on the Invasion Day broadcast last year. We didn't do it, but we're going to do it today. Today, I'm also inviting people, if you're out there and you're listening, I'm inviting you to text in and send us a message about what today means for you. You know, what is today all about for you? What's your understanding of today? What do you want to say? It's your chance to get it on the airwaves. You can send a text to 04-888-09-855. That number again is 04-888-09-855. You can also find that number on the website freecr.org.au. So send me a text. Let me know, you know, what does today mean to you? What are you up to today? Are you celebrating today? Are you mourning today? Are you, you know, celebrating our resistance and our survival? Are you mourning the occupation and the beginning of war and the ongoing war that's happening? Let me know. Send me a text. We're going to go to another song. This one is by Rarumpy Band.
Thank you.
We're going to start off by announcing some of the events that are happening across the continent today. Some of them, unfortunately, have already begun, but no reason you can't head down if you're not down there yet. So here in the state of so-called Victoria, we started that day off with the Invasion Day Dawn service at 5 o'clock down at Camp Sovereignty. And coming up next, I'm about to start actually in about half an hour. Oh, no, actually, I think it just started recently. The Invasion Day protest happening at the steps of Parliament, Victorian Parliament House, that is. But there's also stuff happening outside of NAM. You know, they've got the Honouring the Day of Mourning up in Shepparton. That's going to be happening tonight from about 6 o'clock onwards. You can find that at the William Cooper statue in Queen's Garden on Wellsford Street. They've got the Ballarat Survival Day Dawn Ceremony, which again has already passed, I think. They've also got the Geelong Survival Day Community Gathering, which is happening right now. They've got the Hamilton Survival Day tonight down at Melville Oval in Hamilton. We've got the Celebrate Gunditj up in Gunditjmara Country in Portland, up in Foreshore there. There's the Our Survival Day at the Briars in Mount Martha. There is Pilk Purin, Truth Telling at Sunrise, which started this morning at Torquay. We've also got the Mildura Survival Day and the Survival Day Community Gathering at Warragul. So, you know, wherever you are listening, get along to one of these events if you're able to. If you're not, though, make sure you stay tuned throughout the day. We're going to be crossing to some of these people, having a bit of a yarn with them, seeing how the events are going or how they went, as well as giving you updates throughout the day about other stuff happening around the country. And we're just going to be having many yarns about Invasion Day, generally speaking. Now, there's a bunch of stuff happening interstate as well, if you've tuned in interstate. Up in my country at the moment, up in Nowra on the south coast of New South Wales, they have the anniversary, what do they call it? Give me a second. It's the anniversary of Resistance and Resilience happening at the Harry Sawkins Park. They've also got the rally in Gadigal Country, which kicked off about 20 minutes or so ago, up in Hyde Park in Sydney. There's the Yarban Festival, which will be going all day, finishes up at 7 o'clock tonight. That's happening at Victoria Park. We've got Mulubinba in Newcastle happening at Civic Park. And there is the Survival Day honouring culture, strength and community in Katoomba, up at the Katoomba North Public School, which kicks off at about 11 o'clock. Going up to Queensland, up in Magungeon, they've got the rally up there, which kicked off at 10 o'clock. And they're going to be marching from 12 o'clock down to Musgrave Park. A bit further up past that, on the Sunshine Coast, they got the rally at Foundation Square in Maroochydore. They've also got events happening up in Mackay on Yui Country. That's happening opposite the Yui Yumba Cultural Hub, and that'll be going for most of the day as well. Over in South Australia, they've got the rally happening at 11:30 their time in Garna Yerta, or Adelaide as it's now known. That's happening in Victoria Square. Down in Devonport, they've also got a event happening from 11:30 down there. And finally, down in Tasmania, in Nipaluna, or Hobart as it's now known, they've got the rally happening at the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre from 11 o'clock. So no matter where you're listening, no matter where you're located today, get along to one of these local events if you are able to. Go down, show your support, especially if you're an ally. You should be down there showing your support for MOB. You know, today of all days, you should be supporting MOB 365 days a year. But, you know, of all days, today is the most important one to get along and to show your support for MOB, to, you know, donate to some of these grassroots campaigns that are organizing in your local area, and to support the initiatives that they've got going on. There's heaps of stuff right across the country that you could be supporting. And, you know, don't just think that rocking up to a rally or going to a cultural day out is the be-all and end-all of support. There is so much more actual material support you can provide from MOB. You know, quite a lot of our, well, nearly all of our campaigns right across this continent as sovereign people are campaigns that we fund out of our own pockets. You know, we don't get government grants and big corporate grants to go out and talk about sovereignty and invasion and survival. All of that comes out of our own pockets. When you've got stuff as well, like initiatives like GMAR down here in Victoria, Grandmothers Against Removal, you know, they do a lot of amazing work trying to fight the child removal system and trying to keep our kids on country, in culture, and with family. And, you know, again, they do this all out of their own pockets and rely on donations from the community. So throughout the day, I'm going to be plugging a bunch of different campaigns and how you can donate to those campaigns, as well as how you can get involved if there's a potential for that. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Make sure you pay your rent at the end of the day, you know, because that's what it's all about. It's about paying your rent here and, you know, supporting us in our fight against the ongoing genocide. Last night, if you tuned in earlier today from 9 o'clock, you might have heard in the first hour some clips from the anti-treaty panel that we had last night down at Camp Sovereignty. But last night I was talking about something in particular. It was how people, you know, so-called allies and accomplices and well-meaning non-Indigenous people, how they can support First Nations struggle and how they can start to push back against the colonial occupation. And one of the main ways that people can do that is by providing material support, you know, financial support. Because as I was just saying, we do all this stuff out of our own pocket for the most part. And I want you to look at it a different way. You're not just giving a donation. You're not just doing charity. You're not even just paying the rent. I want you to think about it as the fact that this is our land. Our sovereignty is unceded. Our nationhood still exists. You're living in our nation. So this is your way to pay your taxes. This is a way to pay your dues. This is a way to, you know, support those nations. Don't pay your taxes to the Australian government. Pay your taxes to the First Nations nation that you live within. You know, that's where your taxes and your land rates and stuff like that should be going. And that's how we start to decolonize. That's how we start to undermine and abolish the Australian occupation. Starve them of their money. Give that money to people who are actually going to use it for the community. And, you know, at the end of the day as well, the stuff that we do, it's not just about First Nations people. It's about everybody that lives here. You know, whether it's First Nations people out on the front lines fighting climate collapse and climate change and mines and deforestation and whatever else, you know, that's all very much tied into you and your children's longevity and future here on this continent and on this planet. Because at the end of the day, when we're talking about, you know, water being poisoned and air being poisoned and our food systems and biodiversity collapsing, you know, that's just not a First Nations issue. That's an issue for everybody who exists and everybody who will come to exist in the future, your children and grandchildren and their grandchildren. So, you know, support that cause. It's supporting yourself at the end of the day. And not only that, when we look at stuff like our issues around justice and around equality and stuff like that, I've spoken about this time and time again, but, you know, quite often, a lot of the stuff that happens to MOB ends up happening to non-Indigenous people further down the line. In fact, there was a, I can't remember exactly what his name is, sorry, but there was a fella who was a part of the Holocaust, and he's got this really great quote. You know, he talks about how at first they come for the communist, and I didn't support them because I wasn't a communist. And then they come for the trade unionists, and I didn't support them because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then they come for, you know, X, Y, Z, and it goes on and on. And then at the end of it all, then they came for him and there was nobody there to support him because everybody had this whole mentality and attitude about just looking out for themselves and their own little community. You know, when we look at what's happening to MOB, quite often it is a ripple effect. It ends up happening to non-Indigenous people as well. We're just the test cases and the test subjects for quite a lot of stuff. You know, I'm talking about stuff like, for example, you know, look at Centrelink. You look at stuff like cashless welfare systems. You know, they trialed all that stuff for years and years out in remote communities. They trialed that stuff on mob. And for the most part, you know, people didn't say anything or do anything about it. And then what happened? They end up rolling in these same systems for non-Indigenous people in a lot of communities as well. If people had stood with us in the first place and fought back against this stuff, then it wouldn't have impacted them. You know, same with stuff like child removal. If they can snatch up 1 in 4 of our children, what makes you think that they won't turn around and take your children if and when the time comes for it? And who's going to be there to protect you and your children? You know, when we look at deaths in custody, if they can murder us in custody, what's going to stop them getting away with murdering non-Indigenous people in custody? And in fact, we're seeing the same sort of thing right now over in the so-called United States of America with ICE. You know, in Minneapolis or whatever it was, where they've had a few American citizens being shot, some even being murdered by ICE. And why did this happen? Well, as Aimé Césaire puts it, you know, the imperial boomerang came back around. People were happy to sit back and watch the First Nations people and the African American people over there being murdered by the so-called law enforcement. And they were allowed to get away with that. So they decided to widen their reach to more of the population. And now, you know, you've got white people over in America being murdered by ICE as well. And what's happening? Is there any justice? No, there is not. You've got the government over there defending it and blaming these people for being murdered. You know, that's the kind of reality, the kind of future that we're looking at heading towards here in this colony, if things continue on the way that they are. If they can get away with doing it to us, they can and they will eventually get away with doing it to you too. So don't just do it for mob. Do it for yourself. Do it for your own self-preservation. Do it for your own children and their children. Because things are only going to get worse and worse. Things are only getting worse and worse. You know, as the climate collapses more and more, as there is more and more financial insecurity for the working class, the government cracks down with even more fascist, authoritarian policies and, you know, practices. And that's going to come around and that's going to impact you too. So go and stand on the right side of history. Go and stand on the right side of justice. Go and stand with mob. Go and, you know, finance our campaigns. Go and support our campaigns and lend your labour and your resources and your skills and expertise to them so that we can actually try and stop stuff before it gets even worse. I'm going to go to another song. This one's by a Rumpy Band again. I'm going to be playing a bit of Rumpy Band today. They're a deadly band, one of my favourite Aboriginal bands. This is From the Bush.
You got all you need.
That was From the Bush by Rumpy Band. We have had a text in from, not sure who this text is from, but talking about what Invasion Day means to them. It says, what Invasion Day means to me. As a settler born here, it's a day of listening, of marching alongside those who have had their homes stolen, and solidarity for our common goal of liberation from imperial, colonial, capitalist oppression. You know, thank you for texting in. Well said. And, you know, that's exactly what it's all about as well. It's about people coming together to fight our common enemy, which is this colonial government. And talking about, you know, having extra people come in with their message, you can send a text yourself on 04888 09855. Let me know what Invasion Day means to you. And on that note, I'm joined in the studio at the moment by my sister Kelly. She's come in to have a bit of a yarn before she heads down to the march. She's going to do some live crosses from the march a bit later on in the day. What does Invasion Day mean to you, sis?
Thanks, Karen. Yeah, Invasion Day for me is, it means different things. With different parts of my family means different things. You know, I've got a black mum but a white dad. So let's just say it gets a bit confusing in my household. But I grew up without culture being around, and so what that means for me is, as an adult, I've had to, you know, to relearn all that stuff. So I've had a beautiful adulthood, like learning about these things. But, you know, growing up for me was a lot of heartache. And so for Invasion Day, what it means for me is a place to reconcile my emotions and my growth as a person. And try to steer away from the negativity of my childhood, but also embrace the beauty of our culture. Mm. We have one of the most beautiful cultures and in the world, and it's incredible that we're still struggling to have that culture heard by community.
Yeah.
So I feel, it means different things for everyone, but for me there's a lot of internal struggle as well. But obviously we do have a lot of external struggle on top of that.
Yeah, we definitely do. And, you make a really good point about, like, the beauty of our culture. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's something that, I really encourage people to embrace and to go and get a taste of. No matter where you're listening from, go connect with your local mob down there and, see what culture they've got on display, not just today, but, year-round, because it's not just a beautiful culture. It's also just, it's so, like, amazing just how we manage to live with the environment and live with each other and live in harmony for, hundreds of thousands of years probably.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of that is we've learnt to live together harmoniously, Indigenous folks, for thousands of years. And we did it relatively humbly and with a lot of love. So I do believe we can get back to that again, So go out and have a chat to, Uncle Arnie and anywhere you see, get involved, have a conversation, right? Like, and that's the biggest thing. Like, I've been watching a lot of, content and some of the unks from up north who've got a bit more colour about them, they're like, people are scared to have a conversation with me. And that makes me real sad, because they've got so many stories to tell. So for me, it's about, let's take away that, that perspective that we've been told about, Aboriginal people, And let's get back to like finding out who people are individually, right?
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it's such an important part of that, having those conversations, because you know, those conversations, they break down so much of those barriers, and they get rid of so much of the propaganda that you know, you learn. And
yeah, the propaganda is a great word, right? Like, because we're told all of these things growing up, but we have to stop and ask the question, like, why do they want to keep us divided?
Yeah.
You know, and it's got nothing to do with, you know, being Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal, black or white. What it's got to do with is by keeping us divided means we can't stand together and fight.
Yes, exactly.
And so, you know, the rich get richer and the poorer get poorer. So if we learn to overcome those barriers, what happens is we become one peoples.
Yeah.
And that's where the beauty lies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's where the progress lies as well. Like, we're not gonna be able to solve anything, whether it's, you know, climate collapse or social justice issues or, you know, wealth inequality or whatever else it might be. We're not going to be able to solve any of it as long as we're divided.
No.
And we need to, yeah, come together. We need to, you know, come together under that original law as well of this nation, this continent. And we need to do things the right way. And, yeah, the best way to do that is just to start with those conversations.
Yeah, and they're hard conversations, right? Like, you know, you have these conversations. I mean, I kind of work around a lot of non-Indigenous folks talking about culture. So I have a lot of these conversations regularly with, like, high school kids. And some of the conversations are real hard. You know, they want to know, like, why do I not look like an Aboriginal person? You know, and it's like, you know, those conversations can be really difficult, but they're still conversations that we need to have.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's not about them being arrogant or ignorance. It's just they don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, don't be scared to reach out, ask some questions, because I think the more questions you ask, you know, we learn together, and that way we can become one and stop being so divided.
Yeah. Yeah. Well put. You know, on that note as well, do you want to talk a bit about the sort of work that you do? You do a lot of campaigning around stuff like incarceration and, you know, other stuff as well.
Yeah, so I did a bit of time myself, you know, criminal behaviour under circumstances, you know, a bit of I was a drug addict and that kind of thing. And it really took away my soul, you know, a bit lost growing up. So I took to, you know, taking drugs and running when, you know, with criminals and gangs and things like that. So, and, you know, it served a purpose for a while I was hurting. But then when you get stuck with a few years, you know, you certainly learn pretty quick that that's not the life you want.
Mm.
And it took me some real deep searching in there to figure out that the change needs to come within rather than everything externally. Like, some of the external stuff's crap, but it's like I need to change from within. And so now that I've done my sentence, I got out. And I wanted to talk about the injustices that are happening, you know, inside the female prisons, because there's a lot of lockdowns and there's a lot of mental health issues. And, you know, there's a lot of suicide attempts for mob girls and white girls, you know, so it's, no one's talking about it, and they don't have to report it as well, which I find really crazy, because, like, when I was in there, the last month that I was in there in March 2025, there was 10 suicide attempts, 2 near fatal.
Yeah.
And when I say near fatal, I'm sure you understand what I mean. Like, we're very close, you know, to death. And it's these are things I need to talk about, because they don't need to make you aware of them. They don't need to tell the community about them. It's all really, really hush-hush, which I find really alarming, because when, you know, when there is a death in custody, no one ever gets held accountable. Like, not till, even to today, no one has ever been held accountable that works for corrections for a death in custody. How is that possible?
Yeah.
How is that possible? And so, you know, corrections hopes that I'll go away at some point, but I'm just going to get really loud. I'm just taking a bit of a breath at the moment. But, yeah, I'm never going to stop fighting, because it's not right. And no human being should feel that alone, that the only thing that they you know, the only way they feel they can get out of it is to commit suicide. So. Yeah.
And it's such a, like, horrific thing just plaguing our entire community. You know, whether it's in jails or whether it's outside of jails. Like, you know, we've got the highest suicide rates in the entire world. And that's, you know, for Aboriginal people as a whole, that's for Aboriginal men, that's for Aboriginal women, that's for Aboriginal children as well. And something I really like to point out about this, to really, like, emphasize, you know, how bad things are here is, you know, before colonization, we didn't have a suicide here.
Mm.
And in fact, you know, we've got 250 plus languages across this continent, and I don't know of a single language that even had a word for suicide before colonization. Yeah. You know, that's how foreign it was for us. And even, you know, 60, 70 years ago, you look at the Aboriginal suicide stats, they were still pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
And then over the last couple of decades, we've skyrocketed up to having the highest in the whole entire world. It's, you know, absolutely atrocious statistic.
Yeah. And I think it's that for us, like, we're very we're very spiritual people, I mean spiritual, not religious, but, you know, although some of us are, but spiritual connection with land, you know, wind, water, all of those things. And so what happens for us is when we have that disconnect, for me, for example, in prison, whether I don't have access to country or anything like that, it takes away that part of you that connects you with the rest of everything, you know. And so you take us out of that space and we have no soul left. So it's and I think that's what a lot of our mob are facing. They're facing those challenges where they've got disconnect from country. We're trying to do it like the white fella way, but it's really, really affecting us. So yeah. We've got to, you know, bring our people back to culture and connect with each other.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's such a point of strength as well, that that culture. Like, you know, I've worked in Aboriginal rehabs and stuff before where, you know, the whole program was around getting Aboriginal men back involved in culture as a, you know, deterrent and as a way of, you know, getting off the drugs and getting off the alcohol and, you know, getting out of those negative life patterns and life habits and stuff. And it's such a powerful thing, and it works at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The men's spaces, like, I've heard of a couple, the men's spaces are truly incredible. I'm not sure why we're not taking more from them and the success rates of them, because there is a huge success rate with the men's, like, rehabs, Indigenous rehabs, because that's what's missing with these men, is that they don't know how to behave. I mean, that's probably not the right word. But they, you know, they're struggling because they've always had culture. So without culture, how do they go about in the world? They need a role in the world. Yeah. So I understand that, and I'm really curious as to see why we don't have more of these kind of rehabs. But then if we do that right, we're going to have the circular door to prison, that money making business that they have wouldn't make as much money, right? If we were all healed, so
it'll empower us all as well, and
exactly,
we won't be under that boot of colonialism anymore. And you know, I think as well, like, this is this is a major factor for, like, the drug and alcohol rates of mob. It's that whole, like, disconnect from country and from culture and from community. You know, when we look at stuff like addiction, you know, this is my psychologist background talking to you. I used to work as a psychologist. But, you know, when we look at stuff like addiction, you know, addiction doesn't exist because people necessarily want to do drugs or, you know, wake up one day and go, oh, I'm going to become an addict. This is what I want to do for life. It exists because it's a coping mechanism to replace what we're missing in our lives, which is, you know, that connection, it's that culture, it's that community and stuff like that. When we look at addiction, you know, we see that at least 95% of people who have an addiction are, for the most part, doing it because they're self-medicating.
Yeah.
You know, they're self-medicating because they've got mental health issues, because they've got trauma, because they've got, you know, all of these identity issues as a result of being cut off from their culture and their community and their identity and their country by all these assimilation policies. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason why we have such a horrific stats around suicide and stuff like that, is because the government's tried to, you know, force assimilation down our throat. They've cut us off from so much of who we are and our identity. But at the same time, this colony doesn't accept us as, you know, white Australians either. Mm-hmm. You know, we're stuck between these two different worlds here, where we're cut off from our actual, like, identities and our culture and customs and whatever else. But, you know, we're not accepted by the mainstream Australia either. We're still cast down. We're still looked down upon. We're still, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, undermined.
And it's interesting that you say that. Like, I mean, I didn't just wake up one day and go, hey, you know, fuck it, I'm going to be a prisoner, or I'm going to go join a gang, or I'm going to go be, you know, sell drugs or whatever. That didn't happen for me. So I had intergenerational trauma long before any other trauma came along.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always, like, I'm pretty vocal about my situation growing up. Like, I have a really, like, I have a black mom and I have a racist dad, you know, so it's pretty, like, toxic in general. So it's like growing up in that space with that intergenerational trauma and then all the other stuff on top that's happened while I've been under the influence. This stuff is, it's about filling that gap and then like coming out and connecting with you, brother and also the aunties and the uncles and doing more cultural stuff, like I feel so connected. And it's like, it's what our young people need. It's what all of us need, even some of our old people.
Yeah.
I think we've lost touch of that with that. Well, maybe not on purpose for us, but the government certainly don't want to, you know, they don't want to give us back our law, you know, and for us to operate under it. But the other thing that I find interesting too is, so I do a little bit of work at the Koori Heritage Trust, and I teach some of the youngsters coming up, some of the schools about mob, you know, and I get a lot of questions like, oh, so is this possum, because I show them possum cloaks, you know, because I think that's such a beautiful part of our culture, and they go, oh, did you hunt that here? And I'm like, nah, it's illegal here for us to hunt possum.
Yeah.
Like just something as simple as that, like taking away that tradition from us and saying it's illegal to hunt possum here. We have to import it from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, it's that's how it goes to show how much we still are colonialized.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's a lot of people don't realize as well, you know, a lot of culture and a lot of identity, it does come back to those practices and, you know, stuff like food as well. You know, like we're cut off from our traditional foods, you know.
Yeah.
You go out and you go fishing or you go diving and get some abalone or something. Next second you get slapped with poaching charges.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're looking at 5 to 10 years in jail and $100,000 fine.
Absolutely.
For going and getting your traditional foods.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and hey, I wonder what it'd be like to try some of the fish in the Yarra or the Birrarung. I reckon they might taste a bit funky.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing too. Like, you know, we've got so much like pollution now in our waterways and like out on our country and land. Like up in my country, up in Wreck Bay there, they've got this massive issue now with PFAS, per and polyfluoroalkyline substances. And it's this forever chemical that causes, you know, cancers and birth defects and sterility and all these other issues. But now as a result, you know, we can't go diving up there. We can't go fishing up there. You know, we can't go hunting up there.
That's hard. It breaks my heart that the cultures that, you know, like we're all missing something, right? Like that's a huge part of your culture right there. That's already been, you know, taken from you. So like how do you move on from that stuff? I mean, you know, you're an adult, you know, we grow, but we don't have to accept this. We don't have to accept this. This is not like, just because it's happening doesn't mean that it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what today's about, right? Today's about coming together and going, you know what? We accept that, you know, that there's peoples here who colonized the country, but we were here, we are the first peoples and we need to be respected.
Yeah, exactly. On that note as well, we've got the rally speeches that are about to start. So we're going to probably cross to the rally in a second to hear what they're talking about down there.